again, with along with Pastor James, thanks for your prayer support, and just encourage you to be praying for Jewel and Sheila and for others in these hard to reach areas. One quick testimony of how God was working when people aren't allowed to proclaim His word, it seems God finds a way in. And Jewel told us that he has a friend who had three dreams. The first dream was with God, who spoke to him and said that if he wanted to know who he was, he needed to talk to his friend. Not long after that, he had a second dream that was with a man, and this man told him that if he wanted to know who he was, he had to talk with his friend who knows about him. And he had a third dream not too long after that with this bright light that said, if you want to know who I am and more about me, you need to speak with your friend who knows me. And Jewel said, it's so clear to him that the Holy Spirit and the triune God has revealed himself to this man through dreams. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit revealing himself and saying, if you want to know more of who I am, speak with your friend. And that happened years ago, but Jewel's just praying that this man will continue to seek that out. But those are the sorts of testimonies you hear in a place like that where the word can't be proclaimed openly and boldly. God just finds ways to impact people and to draw them to himself. So continue praying for Jewel and all the opportunities that he has and just their safety as they do ministry there. I know the past couple weeks, Pastor Josh got to talk to you about community, the importance of community, what community looks like as a Christian fellowship, and I think we'll see some of that surfacing as we spend time together in the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be in Nehemiah for quite a while, and I'm excited for it, but we'll see emphasis on community surface again as we see really the whole people of Jerusalem had to come together to build these walls. And I want to spend this week really as in preparation for the series that is to come, kind of a transition week. So it may feel a little bit different, but I want us to just anticipate together what God might be able to do through our time together in Nehemiah. So today, I'm really just going to open up some of what it is that we'll be getting into in our time in Nehemiah, and also just share my heart a little bit as to why I think Nehemiah is a strategic choice for us to be working through right now. So we'll do my best to create a little bit of excitement, at least for a series that we get to work through each week, and invite you all to participate in that. As I said, I'm really excited for it. The last book that we worked through was the Gospel of Mark, and selected the Gospel of Mark really to just magnify the person of Jesus and to allow all of us to challenge ourselves and ask, am I really following after this person, Jesus? Am I really following after him as if he is Lord and Savior? And I see people in our church congregation growing that desire, growing that passion to be in more intimate relationship with Christ, to know who he is more, and to follow after him on a daily basis. So I think this book of Nehemiah will be strategic in helping us become a people who have a spiritual life that has been renewed by God. The book focuses on renewing walls, rebuilding walls around Jerusalem. But the principles that we'll be looking at, they'll help each of us be spiritually renewed. And I think as each of us as individuals are spiritually renewed, that can lead to some great things for us as a corporate body of faith. This is something that our leadership has been talking and praying about a lot lately, just the idea of spiritual renovation or spiritual renewal. What does it look like for a person to become alive in Christ in a way that they haven't been in a long time, or maybe to respond to Christ for the very first time and go from spiritual death to spiritual life, which really is in line with the mission of our church, to see every follower of Jesus going and making disciples. We desire to see every follower of Jesus mobilized for ministry. That's really a primary purpose of the church, as you see it communicated in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 talks about raising people up to maturity so that they are prepared to do the works of ministry that God has called them to do. And that's what we'll be working towards in our time together in Nehemiah. So if I were to ask you today, what is the ministry that God has called you to? How are you actively seeking after God in your everyday life? What would your answer be? What is the work of ministry that God has called you to? The temptation at this point, I think, for many of us, especially in the Western world context, is to immediately look inside of our church and to see how we can serve, how we can do a work of ministry inside the walls of our church. We could be an elder, we could be a deacon, we could prepare meals, we could help get the coffee ready, we could lead a Bible study. But throughout our time in Nehemiah, I want to encourage you to think beyond the walls of our church. Yes, we should all be engaged in Christian community, as Josh talked about the last couple weeks. We should be journeying in our faith together, growing in faith together, but we can't neglect what God is calling us to, what He is sending us to outside of these walls. So where are you actively engaged in mission for God? Or how are you on mission with God in day-to-day life? This could be really any number of things. It could be someone at work that God has put on your heart. And maybe they're finally willing to open up one of the Gospels, and you're going to read through the Gospels with someone at work and answer questions. Maybe it's mentoring younger men or younger women in their faith. Maybe it's investing in your spouse or funding a missionary. Maybe it's a ministry of prayer. Maybe it's reaching out to one of your neighbors who's in need, strategically praying for them that they may come to know Christ. The options are infinite, really. But every single person here who is a follower of Christ, who is a part of God's family, has a role, a function, and a purpose in filling his mission in this world. And we'll see this exemplified in Nehemiah. As the people come together, every single family has a specific responsibility. They're all to take care of the wall that's adjacent to their house. And some of them at some point are going to have to offer up some defense because there's opposition that comes in. But it required the entire community to be working together to accomplish what God had planned for that community of faith, for Israel. It's the same for us today. So today I want to read Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And really this is just going to get us to see the main problem that we'll be unpacking for the next 5 months or so as we look at this book of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this: "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. They said this to me: 'The remnant there in the province who had survived the exile, they're in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire.'" So you see there the primary concern. It's really what this book is about, rebuilding these walls that had been broken down. The people are in great trouble. They're living in shame. One of the first questions you may ask is, when is this taking place? Can we set this in the course of history a little bit? And this is after Israel had been exiled to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar led that campaign. He captured the Israelites, took them to Babylon, and all of that was to fulfill prophecy. You could see it listed in multiple scriptures throughout the Old Testament, that God's people would be scattered. Due to their disobedience, the people of God would be scattered outside of Jerusalem, but one day a remnant of those people would return. One verse that gets at this is Zechariah 10, verse 9. It says this, it says, "When I scatter them among the peoples, they will remember me in far countries, and they with their children, they will live and come back." So you can see there this prophetic word from God that He will scatter His people, but there will be some who live, a remnant of people who will be called back to Jerusalem. And this is really at the beginning of Ezra. Ezra is the book right before Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah is originally meant to be a two-part series. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, and they're speaking about the same time in history. They're both speaking about the time when the Israelites were coming back to Jerusalem. And it was Cyrus, this is in Ezra chapter 1, who is king of Persia, who said that it was time for the Israelites to be allowed back to Jerusalem. So Cyrus made that ruling, and the people could eventually come back. And the first order of business when they came back was to construct the altar and the temple. Those were of primary importance for the people of Israel. The people of Israel had their one God, and the temple was the place where God could be met with. If the presence of God was going to be anywhere, it was in the temple. So Ezra talks about the rebuilding of the altar, the rebuilding of the temple, and that gets us here to Nehemiah. Some people come to visit Nehemiah, and he wants to know how they're all doing. How are his people doing after the rebuilding of the altar, the rebuilding of the temple? And what we saw there in verses 1 to 3 shows us the state that they're in. The people are in great trouble. They're living in shame. Why are they in trouble? Why are they living in shame? Because their walls are a mess. Their walls have been completely destroyed. The gates have been burned down. Now, why is this such a problem? And why does it concern us today? How does this concern us today? Why are these walls so important? Well, I'd encourage you to imagine a couple different scenarios. One, imagine that you're on vacation and you're driving through this town, maybe a city, and you see that the streets are really nice, they're really well taken care of, the sidewalks are well taken care of. If it's the evening, you can see that the lights are lighting the streets really well. There might even be children running around and playing still. You can see people's yards. They're well taken care of. The grass is green and it's freshly cut. There's flowers and shrubs that are being taken care of. And as you drive through, that gives you a feel for what that community is all about. It gives you a feel that those people have some pride in their community. They're willing to invest in their community, in the infrastructure that's really the foundation of who they are as a people. But if you continue going through that town and you get to the next city and you see that the roads are full of potholes, the sidewalks are all crumbling, and the lights, the streets aren't as well lit. Maybe some of the lights are burned out. People's yards, they're overgrown with grass, and there's no children out playing, probably because it may not be safe. In the same way, that gives you a feeling of what that community might be like. You wouldn't feel as safe there. You'd realize that they are not willing to invest in the infrastructure of their community. And I think it's a similar comparison there as to what people may have thought when they viewed city walls in the time of Nehemiah that were just completely destroyed. You know, these walls communicated a great deal about the people who lived inside of that community. These walls communicate unity. The people are willing to come together and invest in building these walls. The walls communicate pride, that people value having this wall of defense constructed around their community. It communicates power. You know, the bigger the wall, the more power required in time and money and labor. It communicates safety. These walls are constructed to keep people out. There's gates strategically positioned so that someone can sit by the gate and determine who can come in and who can leave. So there's safety with these walls. And when there's walls, the people inside are able to let down their own guard. They can feel at peace. They can feel a sense of freedom. The robbers aren't able to just come and go. The enemy isn't able to just come and harass the people. As I was thinking about this, I thought of going to the zoo. If you've ever been to the zoo, maybe you've brought your children or your grandchildren. We walk around the zoo pretty freely. You know, we pay an arm and a leg for popcorn and slushies, and we drink around and watch these animals that are behind these huge fences. But can you imagine if all the gates that were holding these animals back were destroyed? And everything in there was just free reign. So now we have wild animals just crawling around. We don't even know where they are. We would constantly be on the defense. we wouldn't have any peace. We wouldn't have any enjoyment because we'd constantly be trying to defend ourselves or trying to be prepared against the upcoming attack. Walls provide a lot of security, and Jerusalem didn't have any walls. They were living in shame. They were ashamed of themselves. It was a pile of rubble. You may imagine if you moved away for a few years, maybe for school or for work, to support a family member. And while you're gone, you hear that the town you grew up in was completely flattened by a huge tornado. The house that you grew up in, gone. Your neighbor's house, gone. The streets covered with large branches. The school is shut down. The local businesses are shut down. Everything has been completely destroyed by this storm. You might think of New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina. What happens in a time like that? People either stay to rebuild and to invest, or they head out of town to start fresh and to start over. And what we're going to be studying together for the next 5 months is an account of a man named Nehemiah who heard that his city was completely destroyed, and he gave up his job to go back to his people to help them invest, to help them rebuild what he had always loved. And what I love about the book of Nehemiah is that it focuses on physical building, but it's really overflowing with principles that are going to lead us into spiritual renewal. And at almost every turn, we can see signs that will point us towards Jesus Christ. So our time together is not going to be spent talking about rebuilding walls as much as it will be talking about rebuilding our spiritual lives to renewal and revitalize our relationship with Christ. It's a series of renewal for each of you as individuals and for us as a church body. The truth is that every person in this room has walls that are cracking. We have walls that are breaking down. Maybe some of you have walls that are completely broken down. We all have gates that are breaking. Maybe some of you have gates that have been completely trampled down. Some questions to consider as we prepare to journey through Nehemiah together. One, are your gates crumbling? Are they breaking down? Are you in trouble? Do you have a marriage that's struggling? Are you struggling with faith in God? Are you overwhelmed with your work or with a relationship? Are you addicted to pornography or to alcohol or to pleasing people? Are you living in unity with your community? Do you know where you fit in God's family of faith? Do you know what God is calling you to do? Do you have someone that you're sharing your spiritual life with? Three, do you feel spiritually or personally weak? God gave us a spirit of power. Does that prove true in your life? Are you living with confidence and boldness as you seek after Christ on a daily basis? Four, are you set apart? Do you have these walls that declare that you belong to Christ? Do you have walls in your life that show you are different than the people down the street who may have no interest in seeking after Christ? Are you pursuing holiness? Scripture says, be holy because I am holy. To be holy is to be set apart. Five, do you know the peace and freedom of following Jesus? Are you living with anxiety and fear, or are you filled with the peace of Christ? Are you able to know His freedom on a daily basis, or are you constantly worried and defending yourself against the attacks because there are no walls set up to guard you? Six, are you living with purpose? Are you living on mission with God? Do you have a purpose in this life that goes way deeper than having a good time or raising up a solid family or having a nice home or a nice retirement? Are you seeking after something of God with as much passion and vigor as you seek after success in the workplace or investing our time or money in ourselves? I know we have many people in this community of faith who desire to grow spiritually. We have many people waiting and looking for ways that they can jump more all in with their faith. We have young people who are longing for more than routine religion. We're longing to truly make a difference and an impact with the time that God has given to us. And Nehemiah, he talks about rebuilding a wall, but we're going to see that it is crammed full of teaching that can completely renew, rebuild, and renovate our spiritual walk with God. So this week, as we prepare for the weeks ahead, I'll ask each of you, will you come ready to build strong walls? Are you ready to listen for God? And are you willing to agree ahead of time to yield to whatever it is that God may call you to do? If God shows you you need to spend more time with Him and less time on social media, will you agree now to trust that? If He shows you that you need to have a conversation with a person at work or a person down the street, as uncomfortable as it may be, will you agree now to follow Him as He invites you there? If He invites you to open up your home, will you follow Him? If He shows you that you need to form new friendships, or shows you that you're living in greed, or that you need to care more for the poor, that you need to surrender to Him more completely, will you agree ahead of time to yield to the call of Christ on your life? Because we all have walls that are broken. We all need repair. We all are people who experience this brokenness. And God has come to bring us healing. He's come to bring us strength. This series can bring change in a few people's lives, but it can also bring change in an entire community if everyone who is a follower of Jesus will agree to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I give you my word that as I prepare these messages and speak to you, I will do all that I can to listen for God's voice and to follow Him wherever He may lead. Me, my family, even if it's into difficult places that make me uncomfortable. Many of us have no idea where He could lead us. Some of us probably already have an idea where He might lead us because we've been putting it off for a while and it's too uncomfortable, so we've been silencing the voice of God. But let's agree to trust God as He leads each one of us through our time together in the book of Nehemiah. And I want to close with 2 points that I believe will make or break this series for us as individuals and as a church body. These are 2 points that come from the book of Nehemiah. It's not going to depend on whether or not we have great worship every week or whether I give a well-polished, good sermon. It will not depend on whether we have good coffee in the foyer, how we dress. It won't depend on whether or not we have new people coming into this space. The benefit of this series of Nehemiah and its ability to transform your life and our corporate life, one, will depend on prayer. We see this as the very first thing that Nehemiah turns to. He hears that the city walls are destroyed. And next week we're going to look at this. The first place Nehemiah goes is to God and prayer. Heartfelt, passionate prayer and fasting and weeping. So if you haven't been a person who comes to God's Word after spending time in prayer or inviting Him to show you what He has for you in that time, I encourage you, invite you to become a person who maybe it's on your way here to church. You're just praying for God to speak into your life, or maybe it's to speak into the life of someone else in this church community, that God would transform someone's life who maybe you've never met in a way that only He can. So we're going to be covering this time, this series of Nehemiah, with prayer. Secondly, this series is only going to impact you if you come desiring to be spiritually restored and renewed. And I pulled this from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. There's 3 guys who come up to Nehemiah, and they say, "Hey, what are you doing rebuilding this wall? Are you really going to do this in opposition to the king?" And let me read to you what Nehemiah responds. He says this, verse 20. He says, "I replied to them, 'The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, His servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem.'" There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who do not want to rebuild, who do not care to surrender more deeply, or do not care to follow after whatever it is that God is calling them to. But if you come ready to listen to God and with a desire to participate in the pride of the community, to invest in the community, to invest in rebuilding these walls, then God will work. It said, this is important for us to understand, the God of heaven will make us prosper. It's not up to us. It's not a self-help conversation we'll be having. It's not that we make ourselves prosper. It's in our yielding to God that He will allow us to prosper however He knows best. We show up to His Word, and we say, okay, Lord, have Your way in me. Send me where You will. Teach me what You will. And give me the boldness, the humility to receive it and to apply it. And we'll trust that that is going to build the healthy walls that bring the freedom, the peace that are meant for God's people. It's going to put you on the path of healing a broken marriage. It's going to put you on the path of growing your faith that may have gone stagnant, of knowing greater joy and peace in this life. It will show you where to serve, how to serve, who to serve. So we come in prayer. We come with a desire to know God, and I trust that our time in Nehemiah will lead to spiritual growth in your life and in our life. This coming week, one challenge or recommendation, read through the book of Nehemiah. Read through it a couple times. It doesn't take very long. You could do it this evening pretty quickly. Read through Nehemiah if you want. Read through Ezra and Nehemiah. You'll see the overlap. You'll see how they fit together. And as you read this, begin to ask questions. Begin to take note of themes that are surfacing. And again, this is no one will do this unless the desire is there. So if the desire is there, I encourage you to pursue it. And let's see what God has for us. Let's make the most of our time together in Nehemiah. Invest in our time that we have together. And I want to close today just with some time in prayer to invite God to work in your life, to invite God to work in this church, in the communities in which you represent. So I'm going to give a couple minutes just of silence for you to be praying, to invite God to work in your heart. Maybe you need to communicate something to Him. Or otherwise just be inviting Him to work in your life and the life of our people. And after a couple minutes, I'll go ahead and close us.